get them an elbow.
Two shots of the truth and we're back.
Oh yeah, we be back. We about to take our shots.
We gotta take shots, man.
Not the imagination.
Take a shot.
The best ingredient,
imagination. All right, so
I'm gonna wait. Cause two shots in the truth, I'm sure is gonna be a thing.
It is. Well, you probably want to take one now. Mm-mm, let it settle.
I've
you
don't want to take two back
to
back.
No, we're gonna pause. I'm gonna make a drink that we can take the shots. I can go downstairs make a drink, and then we can do it.
Whoa!
I need ginger. Oh. I need ginger beer.
I'm not drinking no more.
You're a lie. Let's go. Oh, we're recording.
Lie. Yes, we live.
Sorry. Second segment. Welcome back. Okay, so just to continue where we left off.
Have your eyes been open to your significant other's culture? And then I ask, do you feel that you have a culture? But we can
jump in there. Okay,
jump in. Swim.
Have my eyes been open? A little bit. I do think I've taken a little bit interest in understanding, bless you, what it means to be Jewish. And I was like very confused. And I remember consulting with some of my Jewish friends. Shout out to Sydney. Like, what is going on? Like, what do I need to know?
Yeah.
And then the last time I saw his mom, he's like, you'll be a Jewish lady in no time. So I figured I had the seal of approval from her. So that was a little eye-opening. But I know we've had a lot of conversation specifically about like police brutality and what it means to be
exactly
a black man. And those conversations were really important for me to have because it was like, okay, I love you a lot. I can see myself having a future with you. If we have kids, they're going to be black. So let's talk about what that looks like now because you need to be prepared and that might impact your decision on if you want to have children with me because they're going to face a lot of things that you don't face. And Jake is just a very logical person. He's like, this is what makes sense. If I teach my kids this, then this will be the result. And I had to teach him a little bit that what's happening to the black community is not, it doesn't make sense. It's not logical.
Yeah.
So the logic of I'll raise them to be respectful. They'll go to great schools. They'll know everything what to do. Like that doesn't matter when you're black.
That does not matter.
You know? So
especially if you have a little black boy.
Exactly.
I was going to say, because you asked this question once and with, I don't want to be weird, with her living family, like with the people I meet, it's not as much because we're all people, we're all young, it's regular party stuff, so culture stuff, I can't play spades besides that. But yeah, no, we definitely had the conversation of like, yo, so what happens if your kid is black, what do you teach that kid? Like, what do I know as a white man to prepare that kid for what is the reality of a black person, man or female, whatever the kid would be?
Yeah.
And obviously, as a white guy, I'm not prepared for all of that.
Yeah.
And I'm not a parent, so of course that plays into it.
Mm-hmm.
But my knowledge of how my mind works, and at least how I understand parenting work, is that as soon as or any moment where I have a child, I will love that child to the ends of the earth. It's a different world. You know what I mean? It's a different universe. Your life changes to... You don't think about yourself, think about that other person. But there was a moment, and it's not even a moment, where like, yeah, you have to think about that, like, how can I help if it was, well, my child, because we don't have kids yet, like I said, my child learn about these things that are important for them growing up and surviving as a member of society, where things that, like, when I was a six-year-old, I never thought about if I had to hold a plastic gun, if that would mean something to me.
Yeah.
But of course, like if we had a kid and he was sandy haired or if he was a little darker than me and if he held a plastic gun, I had to teach that kid a certain way to respond. Because like I have an interesting relationship with police, not good or bad, but I'm always the guy who has to like go and dissolve the situation. My child, if me and this wonderful, beautiful woman I have next to me have a child, like I have to teach them in a very different way. And that culture shock... It's not a shock, but it's something that I'd have to prepare for and something that I have to be serious about because it's important to the people that I love. So, like, it can't be something that's ever taken lightly. You know what I mean? So, like, I have to be willing to learn. First and foremost, I have to be willing to receive information from other people that are not myself. But I'm a semi that guy anyways because I love to learn. But, like, I have to – if I'm going to build this foundation, I'm gonna build this family and this rock that I want to build, I have to understand it from all angles and I have to know to teach – the people that come after me, things about cultures that I might not know about, so I have to reach outside my necessarily sphere of influence to make them understand and make them learn and learn from more than just me. And in that way, I'll learn too, I think, hopefully.
I appreciate that conversation.
Yeah.
I do.
It's a lot. Kudos. That's a heavy question. That's a heavy.
It was really heavy.
Kudos to you
guys. I think Jake's background.
Because we're not quite there yet, though. We're both young 20s, so we're not like quite at, we're going to have
a kid
tomorrow.
We got 5 years at least.
So we got some time, but.
Yeah.
You know, but it doesn't hurt to think about it. And the fact that you both
that you guys are
thinking about it.
Yeah, to teach and to learn, like you're on the right track.
Cause I can't neglect it. I don't understand it fully because I don't think I ever will, but I can't neglect it. I can't ever shun myself out from learning new things and from being open to her experience and, like, we have to build this arc together.
And that's the thing people don't say, and I can appreciate that. Like, I won't fully understand it because I promise you, I've heard it so many times. Like, I just don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me, and it'll be dismissed from not even this white man that I've heard.
I'm the guy who they send to talk to cops. I was the president of a frat. I've thrown 100 parties here and in L.A., and we've done shit together. I'm the guy who always diffuses it. My kid, if we have a kid who doesn't, period.
Yeah.
Like anybody who I teach or any person who I teach, when you introduce a new culture, they have to be more cognizant than I was, and they have to be more careful than I was. And I think, like, I have to learn a lot, and I have to teach a lot, and I think those things go hand in hand.
This is great.
So
that
Jay,
makes me happy.
The million-dollar question.
I don't know at all. I know I don't know most things.
Do you season? Second, I'm just.
Do you use Lowry's? No.
Lowry. No, I did. I'll tell you that shit. More than I fucking did. Hell yeah. That shit.
Lowry's. Lowry's.
Great on eggs. More than I did.
Have you ever said the word?
So honestly. It's gone through my mind, but no. Like, and I know that's a shitty thing for white people to say, and it's cop-out.
It's not.
But I'm in
hip-hop.
So, like, it's easy for me to, like, be like, wild-ass Bama's going to front. Like, yo, I'm so, like, I've done this 100 times. You know what I mean? Like, I love rappers. I create music. It's not easy, but it's, yo, it's not hard. Like, yo, this word means things to people. It's hurtful to people. I wouldn't call somebody, I shouldn't even say the word, but the F word. Because I had a frat brother who was gay. And so when you say, I'll say it one time.
I'm not saying a fuckboy.
Are you trying to say a fucker?
I'll say it one time, only for educational. I'll get roasted for this when I'm actually famous.
No, we know what you're talking about.
You say the word faggot. It's not a good word. It's not a word you can ever say. It diminishes them as a person.
Yeah.
You can't say that word. And so, like, it's not out of pocket to be like, yo, don't say something that hurts people. It's not hard. Even if it's your favorite song. Like, Bama's in Paris. I love Kanye.
I love Jay-Z.
It's so easy for me. It's not – I sing. Like, yo, you can vibe with a record and be like, yo, respectful of people. It's not difficult.
It wasn't hard for you. Let me just – okay, a little bit of background. Just a little bit. So Jake and I worked together for a while.
Have you ever heard me say it?
No. But I heard people say that you've said it. But I don't know if that's true
or not. I
know
what you're
talking
about,
though. But honestly, I wasn't surprised or... I mean, we worked with Bobby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So Bobby was a white boy fugitive that got out of jail.
Not a...
No, not fugitive.
And thanks for listening. We're done.
No. Bobby was a bad man. Bobby was somebody I would not meet in a back alley by myself. Bobby was white. Bobby was like this.
The whitest of white.
Where was Bobby from?
Bobby big, too. Bobby is jacked up.
He sound like a Riff Rider.
Can I do an episode? Can I be the interracial duet?
I forgot about Bobby. Not really, but I always remember.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I never was, like, Jake was, you know how you have the token black?
Yeah.
Jake was the token white. And we used to pick with him about it because he was the only white guy in the studio.
But he gets to say it. Any token gets to do
whatever
they want.
Like, so that's the thing. That's important, though. I appreciate we're talking about this because... Not to be weird, not that I've earned anything, but with the amount of friends and loved ones and people that I love that are black and white and different things, like, you could say whatever you want, but it's not about what you could or can't do or what you have a pass for. If a word hurts people, don't hurt people. It's very simple.
I love
you. Yo, it's very, very fucking simple. It's not about, like, yo, what's in a song and what people say and what black people can say in their song. Yo, dude, like, it makes, yo, she's gonna feel upset. don't make her feel upset.
Or you're going to have to go through something. Easy. Yeah. Like, not, people are going to question you, so exactly. Don't say it.
Yo, it's not that difficult.
When you're alone.
I've said, no.
When you're alone traffic, and you rap.
I'd be like, this. Yeah, I thought in traffic. Don't get me wrong. Right, like, it goes through my head. Especially being around a bunch of rap motherfuckers all day. Right. It goes through my head. But nah, I've never... I may have said it once or twice. I'll never say I never said it. But I've never said it like singing a song, singing an Eminem record or a Jay-Z record or a Kanye record. Man, like my bet, like my most heavy influences. I love the records. And I'll be easily to be like, yo, Bama's in Paris. Because like I love that song and I love those artists. I don't think it diminishes their art to not say the word.
We literally have listened to that song so many goddamn times. I never want to hear it again.
If you hurt somebody, like, yo, don't hurt people. It's so simple.
I appreciate that about you.
It's not really that tough. It's really not. Dun-dun. I can still bounce the fuck out. Yo, trust me, I can hit it hard.
We're about to listen to that right after.
I can hit the outro. Bounce so hard, motherfuckers want to find me. That shit, Craig. I can say all the words. You know what I mean? Like, it's just
and
it's,
skip
it's
that
easier
one.
Than people think.
Look.
Oh, no, because we know. Trust me, when your parents, you used to be around your parents and you singing a word, you bleep the hell out of a cuss word or something like that.
You know how to do it.
You know how to do it. But that's good.
Change that word to Bama's and just like. Yeah, care about the people around you. It's like it's that simple. It's not even the art. It's not whatever. It's just like, yo, I'm not gonna hurt people on purpose. And if it is a slight or a reason to hurt people, like, don't do it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't. It's not crazy. It doesn't hurt the art. I mean,
there's
art.
Too much that
art.
Comes with the word. Like, I don't want to explain to somebody how I know to put it. What it? No, it's too much.
Yeah,
it doesn't make
about,
any
like,
sense.
People like, yo, I got stripes. I can say,
yeah,
I am the white
like
master.
I earned it. My black friends told me I could. Like,
just be decent, man. Yeah, just be a good person. We all going.
Listen
the same
to Jake,
train.
People.
Look, she's so in love. Yes, I wish y'all could see her.
That's my love.
I mean, you could ask. So,
my love.
And so you asked Sabina. Asked Ashley. Have you ever heard me say it? I don't think
no,
so.
No, we've never had the conversation. I've never even heard you speak about it. It's never anything that's crossed my mind.
I've never heard him say it.
Yeah. Because it's just
I
so far away
music.
From happening.
I've gotten a bunch of big records, a bunch of grand records. People say records and say that word.
You've never felt the need to.
No, and like I said, being around a bunch of rap bands, occasionally in traffic, I'll be like this. You know, right. I would never say it, yeah. And I would never repeat it in the song. Like, just because, like I said, you don't spread hurt. You don't hurt people on purpose. And like...
Yeah, that's the worst thing you knew. My mama told me that. But thanks, Mom. Well,
that's it. That's literally the only thing I'd say about that. Like, so I'm never really worried I'm ever going to say it in front of a
fucking
cookout.
Yeah, it's never crossed my mind.
Like, nope,
so.
What?
Really?
Yeah, this is the first time I've heard
they used
him.
To tease Jake about it.
Yeah, they used to try and make me say it at the
they
studio.
They used to try to make him say it at the studio.
And
but
he
real
wouldn't.
Quick, I want you to tell... Adrian, because she, or I'm sorry, AD.
Right.
We're getting governments on this show. We're getting government names on this show.
Who is she?
What? We're getting government names on this show.
Why did you get hired at House?
So this is a decent, interesting question. But no, I was hired at House because I am white. And I don't want to say that in any derogatory way, but you has told me multiple times that he had a bunch of applications. And also, I wasn't the only person hired in Yuja's defense, who I love very dearly, and I'm not going to ever drag through the mud. He hired a few different people, but
Yuja
Gray is an African man who was starting a studio in Northeast with a bunch of other people who were not African, who were all African American. So like there was a stigma against him, and he was raising this company. And so when he was doing this, it was actually a site called internships.com. Using a search on internships.com for interns, he was looking for names that stood out to him as white names. And so when he found Jake Grotticelli, Jacob Grotticelli, Grotticelli, it's a Grotticelli if you say it in the Italian
way. Grotticelli! Yeah. You gotta be like this!
That did make you bring me in for that interview. And
but why did you? But why did you get it? Because... I still have your CD.
Yeah, I was gonna say because my music
actually,
was terrible
then. It was
as
horrible.
It sometimes is now, but my music was terrible then.
What shirt were you wearing?
I was wearing a shirt that said NYLC, National Youth Leadership Conference, because I attended from New Jersey a conference that his aunt, who I think that you're related, and you can tell me better than he can.
Why? I don't want to cry.
No, that's how me and you. That's why. No, that's why. Wait, no. So this is amazing that we're connecting on this because I really want to hear your opinion on this because that's why I'm here. That's why we're all here is because from New Jersey, I was one of. I think they take 2 or 3 people from every state, and you know what's funny? I didn't get in because my grades weren't high enough, but because I was a firefighter and because I was doing all this other extracurricular stuff, I was accepted on scholarship to this program in D.C. where I came down and pretended to be a representative of Congress. They took 2 or 3 of us from each state, and we solved problems, the world's problems, for like 2 or 3 weeks in this National Youth Leadership Conference. And Udo's, if I say aunt, and I'm wrong, you tell me, but Udo's aunt ran and was the leader of that scholarship, and is the reason I was at that program. And I wore that shirt. Udo gave me a chance.
I don't want to cry, so that's good, though. I'm happy that you're
here. Did you didn't know any of that, huh?
No, I didn't.
That's why I'm here. That's why I don't want to say that's why all this happened, because so much happened without me, but that's like that's why a lot of this happened. And I don't want to say a lot of this, because all of it, like I said, all of it would have happened without me, but like,
I mean, I'm here, Jake, honestly, you're the only one still here, dog.
It's the late, great Barbara Greene.
Yeah, Jake is the only one.
I would love to know a little, because you told me a little bit, but yeah.
She passed away in 2004 of colon cancer, and she worked for the company, and they basically created a scholarship in her name to invite people on.
It's called the Grief Scholarship, which I think I got as the third place from New Jersey.
Exactly, and you were able to create
that. Isn't that crazy?
She made an impact on all of us. Like, I was just telling her today, like, I haven't been affected by
She didn't know I was going to ask this question.
The impact that she had on pretty much all of her nieces and nephews' lives, even the people who work with her didn't know her. When I told my friends,
Like I said, I wasn't supposed to be there. I was a troubled kid who was in a band. Who, like, I got in trouble with the police a lot. Like, I had a fake ID, so I was buying booze. I was getting arrested. No, it was bad news. Like, I was getting arrested. I got thrown out of Berkeley for doing some booze shit. Like, it was bad news. But I got this opportunity to go because I was really into politics. So I got this opportunity to go and be like, yo, you're going to be the state senate as high school representatives. And there'll be 2 from each country. And I was like, holy shit. But I just didn't really have it. But I got a scholarship to be the third one up from New Jersey. And it brought me here.
Isn't that crazy?
And we were just talking about with Gabby. That happened. Because
Gabby knew you too.
And I'll never forget it. I was riding the bus alone listening to music. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget how lost I was on the bus here. And I was,
To 12th Street.
Yeah, because, before then, I got the Grave Scholarship, during the NYLC.
Yeah.
Because right before then, I had gotten thrown out of Berkeley. So, like,
You went to Berkeley.
Yeah, so there are a lot. I don't know if we need to get too deep into this story.
We won't go there.
I was at Berkeley for a while, very, very young, because I used to play guitar. So I was actually... I occasionally still play. I was okay enough to, like, get a summer, what's called the 5-week program at Berkeley, where they let young kids come and they participate in their college program. I got thrown out for some alcohol shit, and I was really lost, and I had to do a bunch of shit for the police and a bunch of, like, essays and art and, like, fucking community service, and we were paying lawyers, so I had to go a couple times. Like, it was really, really fucking bad. But, like... I ran the, called the National, what was it called? It's called the Youth Republican Club or something. Because I was, like I said, a little conservative coming from out of New Jersey. But, like, doing that, I was able to do this trip to D.C. and I met a bunch of people that I loved. And, like, that kind of helped me get over this really heavy moment where, like, I was young, though. I was, like, 16,
15, 16,
17.
God damn, Jake.
I was hurt, and that program helped me a lot.
Wait a minute. Berkeley is...
So remember, I was skipped ahead a year. So, like,
You're smart.
Nah, not quite. Not quite. So, but, yeah, I was skipped ahead, like, a couple years. So I graduated high school when I was 16.
A year and a couple years is very different.
Because I'm born in January, so I'm young. So, like...
Oh, that kid's going to be smart, have good hair and everything.
Nah, y'all wild. Y'all wild.
I'm just saying.
So January 12th is my birthday, so I'm the first anyways. But I got skipped ahead by like a year and a half because like I was reading and like it's a funny story. It's another story of me getting in trouble. This kid comes up to me, right? I remember this shit. I'm in kindergarten. This story upsets me, but it set my whole life up. So because I remember this shit like it was the day of. I'm reading this book. It's so lit, right? It's the cat and the hat. So I'm like, yo, this cat is going to wear this hat. I'm so about it. Right? I had never heard of this story before. I'm young. I might be 4 or 5. I'm like, this cat's going to wear this hat. It's going to be lit. And all these other kids are making these fucking popsicle sticks, right? And as they're putting paste down, this kid comes over with the glue, puts glue on my jeans. These are dungaroos. I'm upset. I'm in kindergarten. I'm upset. I'm reading a book. Some kid puts popsicle stick paste on my dungaroos. Upset. I took a handful of paint, whap them in the face as hard as I could. I was like, boom. I was like, my sister passed down them dungaroos. I was like, I'm not getting another pair. Let me read my book. After that.
Yeah, now my sister passed them down.
After that, they took me out of kindergarten. And they were like, yo, what the fuck is wrong with you? I was like, I was reading. This kid put glue sticks all over me. I was like, wait, you can read? And I was like, yeah. Like, I can read. Like, what do you mean? The cat's about to put on the hat. You're getting the best point. Like, what the fuck? You fucking suffer me. And they're like, wait. We have like a second grade class where they're reading the cat in the hat. You want to like go sit in? And I was like, does he wear the hat? Yeah, yeah, of course I want to sit in. Like, yeah, I'm going to sit in. So I went and sat in. And then, yeah, I wrote out the rest of second grade. And so.
I wrote out the rest of second grade.
Yeah, that was pretty lit. Please. And so I skipped ahead a little bit after that the dungaroos incident. Because I was, yeah, you don't ruin a good pair of jeans.
And, especially the ones that insist the baby, right?
Yeah. And so that made me graduate really early. So when I went to the NYLC, I was actually 14 or 15, and everybody else was juniors and seniors. Oh. But I graduated high school when I was 16, and I graduated college before I was 21.
I didn't know they still did stuff like that, because people are so hesitant to skip their children nowadays. It's like, I don't want to do that. I don't want social problems.
It was
problems.
A thing. I think my parents still regret it, but it was a thing where it was like, yeah, exactly, because I was small, obviously, by more than any other kid. So, like, I was in soccer, but, like, when I was in football for a year, like, yo, I was getting crushed, and especially when my kids got older and had the growth spurts, like, I couldn't play as many contact sports because, like, I was in soccer killing it and, like, doing other shit. But, yeah, so I skipped ahead a little bit, but NYLC was a big part of that.
That is great.
And fucking ruining dungaroos, man.
Aw, you so smart.
So small.
I'll never
so
forget small. That. I still don't know if the cat wears the hat. I still don't know if the cat wears the hat.
So, any advice or anything you guys want to say, any questions you may have for us, any advice you have for interracial couples? Young interracial couples?
Those are so many different questions.
Well, I did have a question for you guys.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions for y'all, of course.
So, I went to Howard, which is the, you know, Mecca HBCU, Historically Black College and University. And we've actually had conversations around him not necessarily understanding why somebody should go to an HBCU.
Yeah, that's a decent conversation to have.
Yeah, but...
No, I struggle with this.
Me too. Well, if I can give the worst perspective as the only white person... So if I have a beautiful child who is mixed, right, who's African... I'm right in the middle. I want them to apply to every school, including HBCUs, but I'm right in the middle of if I'd want my mixed kid to go to an HBCU, only because in my experience as a white person, but like, would I want them to be around only black people? Only that, like, I know this field and like this world is so tough and you're gonna have to interact with so many random people. Like, do you kind of want to get the underdog thing out of the way? You know what I mean? Or do you want to like be in the school where you're really comfortable and can grow? Like, I've actually described HBCUs in a much more thorough way so I can understand them a bit more. But before I was more educated and I talked to Ashley and a lot of people, I was also like, yo, I don't know if I want my kid around only the same kind of kid. Because, like, you know what I mean? I worry for that. But it was just a question that we've talked about a couple times. I've learned a lot more. And I've got a lot of great friends from Howard specifically because we're here, but also a bunch of other HBCUs. But it's a good question for all of us to kick around because it's just interesting. You know what I mean? The kid doesn't exist, so right now it's no stakes. It's no stakes.
Damn. It's something that I struggle with because
you have 3 kids, one about to enter college and 2 that are a little farther off.
Yeah. HBCUs are, some of them, just like all schools, are great schools.
Of course.
But if you go to a Yale or a Harvard or anything like that, it gives you a leg up to have that on your resume, right? But then I struggle with it because I don't want my child, or I personally don't want to feel like you have to have a Yale or Harvard on your resume.
And there's also legitimate conversation about like the network that comes from an HBCU, right? You know what I mean? There's a lot of amazing musicians, people I know from a Howard or from like any of these other schools. So like the, both those things play in, but I agree with you kind of, because like I said, the kid doesn't exist. So in my mind, I'm like, should the kid apply to HBCUs? Probably, but like, why aren't we hitting exactly Yale and Harvard? Like, you want your kid to have like what should be the pinnacle,
right?
Of
but
things.
My struggle is I want you to feel like that your school is good enough, that HBCU is good enough for you. It is that. Just like I want my children to feel like that America is not the best place you can be in. That Liberia is just as good. That Ghana is just as good. That Africa is just as good. You know what I mean? So it's something that I struggle with. I want my children to know that they are good enough and we don't need the other side in order to be good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I want you to know that. But if you want to do it,
you can do both.
Then
you can
that,
do anything.
Then that is okay.
My
perspective, I struggle with.
It's a good struggle to have. My perspective is I don't think if somebody's like going to get a master's degree, they should do HBCU twice because you need to show that you're versatile.
Yeah.
But I also struggle with people associating excellence with whiteness. And that's why. That's and good. I also think that, you know, going to an HBCU, you can go get your education, focus on growing as a human and not have to think about being black. And that's like wearing such a huge burden. I have friends that went to Penn, and that's why they have these Black Student Associations, so you can support one another and hang out with one another because you might not be welcome on all of the different parts of campus.
Every school has that.
Yeah.
Morgan has it. Towson has it. The Black schools actually have it, and they take it so far to have the Black Student Union, but also the African Student Union.
Right.
Yeah, so, ain't no president come from an HBCU. Let's get that straight.
Not yet.
But also, presidents haven't been
that's
Black.
That's what I'm talking about.
True that.
You know, we've only had one that's been Black. So,
well, we have an orange one, our first orange one. So, where did he go?
Next one could be green.
Right. Exactly.
Like, money's the president.
If Trump can be president, anybody can be president.
But HBCUs are about pride, though. The way that I hear them to be preached to children, I didn't go to an HBCU personally, but it's about pride. It's about having.
Having
a network. Yeah, to just say, hey, I'm proud to be an African American or whatever culture, race you may be from, to say I can go and be around my people. It's not about, I know people who have excelled to do great things outside of an HBCU. Didn't necessarily take them to be. It was just about being comfortable, like you said, and being prideful of where they come from, who they are, and who they can surround themselves with. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be anything else.
Yeah.
I will say that going to like all white high schools and then going to HBCU was a culture shock, but I definitely noticed a difference in the classroom of people not second guessing me, people not expecting me.
More expressive and more
open than HBCU? I was able to really grow and be confident because I didn't have people second guessing me or looking at me or making racial jokes towards me, because I did deal with a lot of racism in high school and you don't even have to think about it. You know what I mean? So it's like a burden you don't have to carry, and once you take that off of your back, you can put your books on and go. You know what I mean? And
you grew up in Richmond.
Richmond. I also lived in Atlanta. I also lived in Florida. So
where did you go to high school?
In Richmond, I went to Godwin High School in Henrico, which was majority white.
Really?
May I ask you what prompted your decision to apply to HBCUs? Or was Howard the only one?
So I actually was super skeptical about going to a HBCU. I was the only person in my high school class of 400 to go to a HBCU. My mom worked at Howard at the time. She's a Hampton graduate. And so it just kind of made sense.
Oh yeah, your mom Black.
Yeah,
you know, Frida, she was looking out. So, I mean, it made sense, as far as like paying tuition went. But once I got there, I mean, it was just so nice to just feel respected and open and not have to feel like I have to speak for everybody Black, because I've had that experience in the classroom where it's like, hey, Ashley, all right, you're the Black one. So why don't you speak for every Black person in the world?
Yeah.
And so it was just nice. And then also the history we learned and how I learned how I should represent myself and defend myself as a Black woman. And I also felt like I learned what I'm up against, you know, like this is really what's happening. This is really what our history is. And I think a lot of that, you know, you get a Black history lesson in math. math class at Howard. So, you know, it was really enriching, and I found it to be a really valuable experience.
It wasn't about, homecoming is going to be lit. Okay. I like that answer. That's good.
So it's important. So I definitely would obviously consider it. It's about what the kid wants, but of course, like,
but those might be some of the things
you taught me a lot about.
Yeah, that we learned about different cultures and things.
The kid has to grow and be the most amazing, successful person they can be. And, like, it opened my eyes to, like, what that can do.
We have a kids over here, you know?
Right.
Yeah, we're still 18 years off from any of those decisions, but I'm happy that
y'all going to be old and wrinkled.
Yeah, but I'm happy I at least understand.
You know, or
at least
crack.
Get a better perspective.
This is dope. Anything else?
Would you guys? Okay, so I have a lot
of questions for them.
Well,
going to Howard,
right? And on Facebook, there's a lot of girls that are like, "I would never date outside of my race." So that was my question for you. Would you date?
Who you date?
I dated a white boy. His name was Bobby Parker.
My first boyfriend was actually white, but I was so young. It was like
that doesn't count.
Yeah,
when you're
y'all hold hands on the way to lunch or whatever.
No, we were kissing.
At 5 years old, fast ass. She is fast.
I'm not opposed to it, but it hasn't popped up again. Honestly, living in Atlanta, I feel like I haven't met too many white people. It's only up here. I always say that Atlanta gives me...
Atlanta's Black Hollywood, though, especially for music.
And not even just in the South in general. There's still a sense of segregation that I didn't interact with black people.
Not that we didn't touch on it. I know
we've
been a little long-winded at all because we talked about the Northeast. Like, things are much, much easier for us here.
Yes.
But yeah, me and her were traveling through Nashville, and my cousin is an executive at a big label in Nashville, and like we show up to like meetings with them, or like we pass barns that fucking say Trump Pence with a bunch of random Confederate flags on them as we're driving in Nashville. That shit actually happens, right, in Tennessee and like in the South.
We've dealt with that in Virginia when you had to go pay that parking ticket. We were like, all you saw was just Trump signs. This is before Trump got elected.
Yeah, this
and just
is
people
then.
Looking at us crazy, and that's like the most.
So we've
uncomfortable
been dating
I
for
felt.
Almost 3 years, right? And we've been obviously like, together for a year
seasoned.
Before that. We've been together for like a year before that, and we're dating for that. So yes, we saw it before Trump and after Trump, and we're still seeing things like we've seen it. You know, now we're experts. But yeah, I do.
Jake
think,
bought me
is,
flowers after Trump won, and he was just like, "I'm so sorry."
Because you know what's so fucked is like, I'm definitely a more conservative person, but the first presidential election I voted in was for Hillary because I knew that if I voted in Trump won and I didn't vote against Trump, I'd feel so guilty. And I voted against Trump, and he still won, and I was so hurt because it was such. It was such the ultimate GOB easy. It was he's angry. He hates
that's
Trump.
Our dog.
Geo hates Trump.
Our
my dog hates Trump.
Security.
But nah, it was just such a special and rare and disgusting time that it changed a lot of what I saw the country as. And I traveled with Davina and a bunch of people traveling on tour, and so like I understand a little bit more about the demographics of the country and what the coasts are like versus what the middle of the country
is like.
And like. I love my girl and protect my girl, so like there are certain things I always going to be worried about when we travel.
Stay in the Northeast, seriously, because being in the South, I can honestly say
the coast
transition.
Though the West Coast is fine. Like LA,
yeah, true.
Great, and Oakland and
see, I haven't
Phoenix,
been yet, but
like,
there was no slavery in California.
They were chilling, and it's Mexicans.
Yeah, it was definitely indentured servants. They have like gold rush indentured servants.
I'm saying,
I'm not.
Yeah. That's what it is. Y'all, Los Angeles is not black people. It's for the Spaniards.
Yeah, we love Nashville a lot. And when we went to visit, I was really scared.
But seriously, I can honestly say Georgia, when I moved there, was the first place that I experienced that. The divide and like saying stuff like I had friends who were white, Spanish, do everything. Like there wasn't a, this is my white friend. This is my Spanish friend. I didn't have those. Everybody was just my friend or you weren't. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So when I got to Georgia, that was the first time I experienced like the divide and noticing that we don't speak to each other just on a daily basis.
It's a little different.
It's weird because people don't even realize it themselves. Being in the black group, just realizing, this is the white girl that we hang with. Like, why does she have to be a white girl? One of my mom's best friends is a white woman from New York, and she lived with us. She's known me since I was three. You know what I'm saying? That's my brother's godmother. Like, I didn't have to think about
her being
white and black. It wasn't a thing. Yeah, it wasn't a thing for me. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't a thing. So
you can cut this, but I have a terrible story. So my sister was a national figure skater, right? She went to like semi-Olympics. Like, she was lit. Like, that's the reason we went to New Jersey, because my whole family followed her and did this whole shit. So when you're a national figure skater, right, you have these girls who are hella dedicated, and like, they come from wherever. And we had this great gym in Hackensack. So this girl named Tiffany, a black girl, was skating with my sister in these heats. Tiffany lived with us for like a year and a half because her parents were from Oklahoma or whatever, and they didn't want to come with her. They're like, yo, we'll help you pay your way, do whatever. I never told you this. This is terrible. My friends used to make fun of me because they would be like, yo, oh yeah, you got like the black girl living in your basement. Like, it used to be like a thing. But it wasn't like that, because they were national figure skaters who were doing this thing. Trust me, I was second fiddle to like my sister and all these people.
Yeah.
But like, I know what that looks like, and I know how fucking ugly that is, and it's just never okay.
I'm glad
this girl's a goddamn athlete. You know, this girl could knock circles around me.
I mean, that could have made you grow resentful towards a certain race or black people. I'm appreciative that it made you think a little bit more.
It made me learn that, like, I'm not an educated person by any means. I'm not a learned person or an enlightened person by any means. But, like, I never want to be around people who want to regress. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I never want to be around people who will absorb new information and go backwards.
Go backwards.
That's not okay.
Like, you found it, girl.
You right.
This is it, girl.
Tell her.
She's special.
I was telling Jake on the way over here, he was the first anniversary I ever had, because I had never made it to a year with anybody.
Oh.
And now it's been 3 years, so.
No, she's special. I don't give a fuck what color she is.
I was like, shout out to holding down a Sagittarius for more than 9 months, which is a struggle.
Oh, and he's a Sag. Y'all different.
No, she is Sag.
I'm a Sag.
Oh, yours, y'all different.
Yeah, so I be trying to, you know.
Who's different?
Y'all are different.
I'm not different.
I'm only off by 4 days, but y'all are different.
Oh, you're so sweet, baby.
Sagittarius are very special.
When is your birthday?
December 12th. And his is January
12th. That is Tiana's birthday. Month. That love
is it really?
Like, no, I think hers is the 10th. Wait, somebody else.
I was like, is it really?
Yeah, that's somebody else.
No.
I'm only off by 4 days, but yeah, you guys are like different.
Are we too long, V?
No. No, okay. It's never too long if we ever go over.
You're going to have to edit this joint, like a real slice
of
nuts.
No, of that stuff is okay, though.
No, we just make it into a couple parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two parts. You'll be on 2 weeks in a row. Check us out Wednesday.
Oh! Wow. Y'all got two weeks.
I had a liquor bama who wanted to, like, give me some joints, like, bring a liquor sponsor, but I was like, I don't know if I get a pass by Davina and all that sexy shit, so.
Oh, you played it.
12:30? Wow. We work it out for next joint. Don't worry. Don't
oh,
you?
We'll okay. do that. Okay. Do that thing.
I still drop the name. Do I still it. Drop the name. They feel good.
They feel good. They feel good. Hey, y'all, listen to this.
Right. Listen to this.
Yo, this is really dope.
Questions?
No, thank you. I appreciate y'all for having us. I wouldn't say we were worried, but, like, yo, it's always a little bit introspective when you have to look at your own relationship. And I don't know, we try to be honest if we can.
Thank you guys for being so honest. This was great. Yeah. I feel like, once again, it's a conversation that's necessary to have, to understand, not necessarily just to have the conversation, but to understand as well. Like,
which is crazy.
We're not different. We're just out here living our lives.
Like, yeah. Yo, crazy.
Love is love.
But it's so true.
Love is
There's
love.
So much older stigma that's still here.
Yeah.
Love wins. Yeah.
It does.
Love does each other. It?
We yeah. love y'all. So we transition into two shots in the truth.
Oh, yeah. We be back. We have to take our
Man,
shot.
I thought it was over. I was like, oh, we made
the
it.
The studio's finally empty. We lost the Coen brothers. It's finally all of us.
Right.
We'll be back. But thank you guys for listening. We'll be back in a second.
Maybe.